Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Good, good. I'm Pastor Jung Mok-gu. I serve Lansdale Emmanuel Church of the Nazarene as a pastor to Asian Americans. First of all, I want to give thanks to God who made us meet you all, the co-worker for God's kingdom. And I would like to express my huge appreciation to Reverend Pastor Wayne Crow, who gives me and my team a chance to share about Asian American ministry. It is great honor for us to be with the presence of God in Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene. Today I will shortly explain how God led our team to serve Asian Americans, and through this presentation and our testimonies and the message that I prepare, I want to exalt God on high for his faithfulness and abundant love toward all of us. Let me share my family. I live with my beautiful wife, Yoon. Both of us were born in South Korea and came to the States in 2009. And we have two wonderful children, and one more girl is on the way. She will be born in April, middle of April. My first daughter, she is turning to 6 very soon. She loves to be called Ariel Princess. And our only son, Ian, is 3 years old now. His favorite cartoon character is Larry Boy. And that's our, we all the time hear Larry Boy and a suctioneer thing. I'm very tired of it anyway. So now let me introduce Asian American leadership team. I can proudly say to you, we are family in Christ. We love to be together so that, they decide to come to here with us, as you saw. And then we have David Chang and Shauna Coles and Joanne Rogers and Yoon, my wife, and Ezra Park. Let me share a brief history of Asian American ministry. Racial diversity has rapidly increased over the last 10 years in the States. Now many of us came into direct contact with a diversity of ethnic cultures and racial traditions in our same neighborhood. Having a racially diverse church remained more dream than reality for most Protestant pastors. More than 8 in 10, 85% pastor says every church should strive for racial diversity, according to a survey from Nashville-based Lifeway Church research. But few have diverse flock. Most 87% pastor says their congregation is predominantly one racial and or ethnic groups. In reality, many churches simply do not know how to reach out to their ethnicity in their communities. It is essential that church keep current with this change in culturally relevant way. Thankfully, with the changing cultural shift in Lansdale, ICN took a demographic study at an 8-mile radius surrounding ICN called Ministry Area Profile, 2008. In 2008, Asians were significantly underrepresented in ICN, where is my local community church, Church of the Nazarene populations, compared to the surrounding area in Lansdale. Since then, ICN staff has been considering how to reach out to this multicultural, multigenerational, and multi-ethnical community. Philadelphia District of the Nazarene has also understood the need, plus Metro New York District of the Nazarene helped all of us to picture how to start Asian American ministry in our district. Finally, this all led the development of Asian American ministry in ICN for reaching out to Asians in Lansdale more effectively and properly. So, Asian American ministry publicly launched in collaboration with Philadelphia District of the Church of Nazarene in March 12th, 2012. Our vision is to serve Asian Americans and invite them to become followers of Jesus Christ and bring all nations together as one body of Christ. So we were asking the question how Asian American ministry is bridged the gap between the dream and the reality. According to our vision statements, we emphasize two parts of our vision. First, gospel-based service, which means empowering Asian American with gospel. Second, intercultural ministry, which means bring together people of diverse cultures so that we share different cultures' perspective to break the world among the ethnicity. Then we finally see all together the ultimate goal, ultimate truth, that everyone's heart is searching for God, regardless of what ethnicity they came from. To fulfill first part of our visions, we have created several groups since we established Asian American ministry, such as Bridge Builders, Love for All, and Finnish Fellowship, and Early Morning Devotional Group, Summer Retreat, and Spring Picnic, One-on-One Mentoring, Cultural Night, Opportunity to Share the Gospel, something like that. Through our new initiative to reach the multi-ethnic people group, now in 2016, weekly average of Asians' attendance is more than 10% of overall ICN congregation size. Again, in 2009, Asians' attendance were only 0.8% of our congregation. For the last 4 years, one of the achievements given by God's grace was that we continually have developed a strong Asian American presence in ICN. 2012, we had only 3 Indians, 14 Korean, most of them were seminarian, and 4 Chinese. Now in 2016, we have 11 Indians, 22 Koreans, 7 Chinese, 9 Indonesian, and 3 Filipinos, and 2 Japanese. Not only that, between 2012 and 2016, we sent 25 ministers left us to serve other churches and missionary China too. And some of them had to move to their own country. Actually, total number of Asian Americans we have served are 79 people. As you see, Asians are from different countries, different cultures. So we decide to use English as our first language in communication. When we are on environments with various cultural, linguistic, and generational influence, God still allows us to be united with one another through our center, Jesus Christ. Asian American ministry has focused on assimilation of new Asian American believers into ICN and has sought the ways to reduce the gap between ICN and new Asian American members. All Asian American and others who want to make friends beyond their culture are welcome. In other words, we are not separating Asian American building relationship with God themselves and relating or worshiping God themselves, but we basically being together as one body of Christ. That's what we are doing. I don't think all of churches has to follow what ICN and Asian American ministry has done. Our goal is not creating the environment of multi-ethnic in every church, but our aim to give you insight, idea, challenge to reach out our local community. That's what I want to say. Here are remaining challenges we still have. Pray for deeper fellowship and joyful worship in Asian American ministry and freedom from cultural, linguistic, or generational gaps. Pray for our current leadership and God raise up other leaders and planting more Asian American ministry in our churches, resources to meet the need of Asian Americans. and additional opportunity to serve in our local community too. Here was the short presentation, who we are, what we have done. Now I'm introducing two leadership who are highly involved in Asian American ministry to tell you their own experience. Would you welcome Shana Coles and David Cheng, please?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shana Coles. I've been attending ICN for about 2 years, and I've been involved with Asian American Ministries for a little over a year. But it's amazing how God has given me a passion for Asian American ministries in our community. But if you would have asked me about that about a year and a half ago, I would have been, Asian Americans? No, I'm not really involved. What's that about? It started when I would attend a class on Wednesday nights in the room next to their Bridge Builders. Bridge Builders is a Wednesday night small group where people from different nationalities come together. It's all that the Asians, Americans, and we all meet. Anyway, I was listening to them worship, and that's what I wanted. I was like, I don't know what's going on over there, but I like the worship, and I want to be a part of that. So I decided to check it out. I was a little nervous because, as you can see, I'm not Asian. So I was really nervous about joining the group. But by attending there regularly and getting to meet the wonderful people, I realized that they all had one very important thing in common, and that was their love for God. And that was something that I really, really wanted to be a part of. You know, even though there were so many different countries represented in that room, their hunger for God just muted out all of those differences. And they were just one big, happy family of Christ, worshiping and serving the Lord together. The more I got to know the Asian Americans at ICN, my heart just really began to be filled with compassion and empathy for them. I mean, to think of how hard it must have been for them to come from their homeland to another country to live and having to learn the new language and speaking in a language that's not your own, how difficult that must have been. And, you know, I wanted to be able to make them feel loved and accepted. You know, I wanted them to know how precious they are to God and how precious they are to me. So for me, I thought, well, the only way I'm going to get to really know them is if I learn to speak their language. So that's what I did. I've been studying Korean for a year so that I can be able to relate with them more, you know, be able to know their heart. And an amazing thing happened. When I first went to people as they walked into ICN and was able to greet them in their language, 안녕하세요, 만나서 it's hello, it's nice to meet you. Their face just turned and they would smile and they actually would pause because it was like they could read my heart that was saying, I love you, you're loved. I'm so glad you're here, and I want to take the time to get to know who you are. So I'm going to take the time to learn your language so that we can relate more. It's just amazing how, by embracing their culture, by me stepping out of my comfort zone and embracing who they are, then they can be relaxed and free to be who they are and be proud of who they are and not be worried about being insecure or unsure of or embarrassed about being different, because there's so many different nationalities at ICN, but I want them to be comfortable with who they are. So God has also given me another opportunity to reach the Asians in our community. A friend of mine introduced me to a Bangladeshi girl that moved just down the street from me. Thankfully, she speaks English because I don't speak that language at all. So we've been able to build a nice friendship. But I really got to think, I'm able to speak to her through English, but how can I relate to her? How can I share the gospel with her if I don't understand her Muslim background and her religious beliefs and what has made her who she is? So as I get to know her more and learn about her background, I just pray that she then will become willing to learn about me so that I can share about what's most important to me, which is my Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the important things that I've learned through Asian American ministries is that underneath all of our different textured hair, our different shaped eyes, our different color skin, we're all the same inside. Our hearts are all the same. We all have wounds that need healed, fears that need comforted, and hearts that need loved. We can be missionaries right where we are, right in our own communities, and we can share God's love and show that his love has no boundaries. It extends to everyone. I just thank you so much for allowing us to come and share this with you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Hi. My name is David Chang, and I'm a proud member of Emmanuel Church of Nazarene, a.k.a. ICN. That's how we call it. And also one of the staff of the Asian American Ministries within the church. I feel very honored and blessed to be here with all of you here and to be able to share some of my reflections and appreciation when I think about the church of ICN and the ministry that is represented here today. To just give you some background that I, my personal background, it wasn't until after I graduated from college and left my comfort zone in Chicago to launch my career in Pennsylvania that I began to dream about a multicultural and multi-ethnic church family. And God led me to find that church in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, that has the same vision that I did. By the way, I ended up marrying the girl who was the first one to greet me at the church entrance at my first visit. So if there are any single people in this room, single young adults, I mean, saying a nice hello to a total stranger with the love of Christ can lead to really life-altering consequences. So I strongly encourage you to that. So there, my wife and I devoted much of our young adult life in helping to build a church that consists of people with diverse cultural and ethnic background. However, during our 15th year with that church, my wife and I both realized that it was time for us to follow God's directions to the next phase of our journey. And that is when we were introduced to ICN and the Asian American Ministry. From day one, we felt at home. And it wasn't because of several similar-looking Asian faces that we saw, but it was actually the church itself was so focused on worshiping God, and also, while its members were open and welcoming towards everybody, regardless of where they came from and who they are. It has now been 2 years that we've been with ICN, and the passionate worship for God and overflowing love for one another are still very much alive and growing within the church and within our ministry. By the way, I have to tell you that I sense the same kind of passion for God when it comes to worship and also fellowship with the fellow believers in this room. So I just wanted to say that, okay? I'm always blessed and challenged through the sacrificial and inspiring leadership of Pastor Jung Mo, too. And this ministry leadership team here today, if there's a such thing called ministry A-team, I think this is it. We have preachers, praise leaders, singers, instrumentalists, prayer warriors, administrators. We even have cooks, tennis players, photographers. So if you ever need any ministry aid team, just give us a call. Okay, we'll be there. We truly feel like we're a family. And our desire to expand and share this unity in Christ with more and more people around us. I mean, that is what we're dreaming. I know that our ministry has been made possible because of the courageous and well-thought-out commitment of energy and resources by the ICN leaders and its members over several years. I really give them lots of credit. I've been there only for 2 years. Those people have put out such, a lot more sacrifice over the course of many years. It was possible also because of the undying passion and selfless shepherding of our ministry pastoral team. So thank you, Pastor Jung Mo, Pastor Ezra, Yoon, and Ezra's wife, who's not here today, Sarah. I really give them lots of credit because they've made such a lot of sacrifice. It was possible also because of all those people who were willing to step out of their own comfort zone and submit themselves to a greater calling in spite of the cost that they have to have had to pay. After all, isn't that exactly how the gospel was and continues to be spread all around the world throughout history? Somebody had to leave his or her comfort zone in order to bring the gospel to someone else who was outside of the comfort zone. But ultimately, all these things started when, and plus all of our ministry initiatives and activities are rooted on the fact that Jesus himself willingly gave up his own comfort zone in the heaven and came down to us so that we can be forever welcome into his family. So I want to end my story here by directing all the glory and praise to Christ Jesus, who is and will always be the heart of our Asian American ministry, ICN and Mifflinburg Church of Nazarene. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
While Apostle Paul was writing this his letter to different churches in the first century, sometime he was in prison, as you already know. Since he was in chain, he was not able to visit the churches he so loved. So through letters and people, he was able to hear so many good news that how churches are thriving. So we are able to read his excitement and appreciation to the first century churches in his epistle. In the same way, even though it is my first time to visit in Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene, but I wanted to know about this church. So I actually asked to several pastors that I respect in the district about your church. I simply gave them Mifflinburg is blank. Let me read. I got so many letters from them, but I picked some of them. Let me read some of the description from other pastors about your church. The Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene is a rescue station. I like that. For lost and broken humanity. For more than 7 decades, this Christ Lighthouse in Buffalo Valley has projected a beam of hope and grace through the darkness of the world's vain philosophies. Her parents, Pastor Wayne Crow, and without question, one of God's most humble, faithful, and compassionate servants. Here's another quote. This church is very missionary-minded and receptive to missionary speakers. Pastor Wayne Crow is a very loving, kind, sensitive shepherd. He has a strong commitment to missions, and he has been on several mission trips. I think one of them is the Cuba that he went. Another pastor was telling me, actually, Pastor Wayne and his wife, Debbie, are far better parents than me and my wife. That's what he said. I don't know what, I cannot say who they are. As reading these comments, I got so excited, and I was looking forward to coming here at Mifflinburg Church. Once again, thank you that you invite me and my family, and my, you know, Christ family, Asian American ministry leadership to be here. Now I'm going to read today's scripture with you. Would you stand, please? Let me read it for you. Scripture we are going to read are Exodus chapter 17, 8 to 16. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of the Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his staff, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hand. So his hand held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You may be seated. Today's scripture may be very familiar to you. Through this passage, we were often thought about how powerful, how important prayer is. Thus, we may have a preconceived idea or a mental picture of Moses holding up his hands. However, today we are not talking about Moses or prayer, but we are talking about Joshua. Have you watched the movie with Will Smith, Man in Black? Guess what? For this, I brought a memory eraser. As I pressed memory eraser, you will completely forget all knowledge of or images about Exodus 17. Do you have belief? Well, that's not a question. Then you will meet Joshua Koo, as I will bring you into context of Joshua's life. My memory eraser need to upgrade because it made it in China. Well, I'm kidding. It doesn't work properly unless you close your eyes. So would you mind close your eyes, please? Then I will count five, and then we're going to go. Please. People of God. Yeah, I see several people still awake. Please. Well, let me count. One, two, three, and four, and five. Good morning, everyone. My name is Joshua Koo. My mother language, is Hebrew, so I hope you will understand my English with Hebrew accent. I, Joshua, am helping Moses, the servant of God, as his assistant. My people, 2 million of the Israelites, came out of Egypt after suffering from living as slaves for 400 years. For a couple of months, we are traveling through the wilderness. Here, the wilderness is not a pleasant place to work at all. A few days ago, since we didn't have drinkable water, I even saw some people trying to stone Moses. Some babblers were talking about and asked, don't you think it would be better to go back to our old life in Egypt? And yesterday, we heard news that drove us despair. The warriors of Amalek are coming to attack us. We fell into a panic because we don't know what to do. We were all looking at Moses. And then I saw Moses was coming to me and commanded me, Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill. And Joshua was thinking, no way! Why me? Why? How can I do that? Moses has solved all of the problem so far. The people will expect Moses to be the commander, the leading of our army. Now my voice is changing. By the way, this is the first time my names appear in the Bible. Don't you think this job is too much for me? As you already know, we people of Israel have never been trained as an army. Before the Exodus, we were simply slaves who were controlled by Pharaoh. But Moses commanded me to take the job. Do I have to fight at the risk of my life without Moses? Worse, do you know what Moses is going to do while we are fighting the battle? He is going to stand at the top of the hill. Doesn't that mean that he is not even going to fight with us? I know, I have to come down. Anyhow, I recruited the people and started fighting against Amalek. I took up the sword. As my first time leading as a commander, I did my best job. It is my best job, really. To lead my people to fight against Amalek. Sometimes it looks like we were winning, but at other times it looked like we were losing the battle. During a fierce fight, I had a chance to look up, to go up the hill and find Moses sitting on the rock. Honestly, I felt angry at Moses, and I thought, you are really irresponsible. That's what I thought. At sunset, finally, we find out we had defeated the army of Amalek. But I saw many of my own people were injured or killed. While I was moving a wounded person, I saw in the distance Moses was coming to us. Somehow, he looked very tired. I don't know why. He just sat on the rock. I noticed that Moses was holding a scroll on which was written God's word. And then Moses said to me, Joshua, after the victory, God want me to write down on a scroll and read this aloud to you, Joshua. You know, to be honest with you, I expect that God would give me credit for me, this battle. Don't you think it is fair enough? Moses read the scroll to me, which is, I, God, will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. It was hard for me not to be surprised when I heard that God was one who made us win the battle, not me. I thought of my good leadership or my good and well-prepared military tactics as the winning reasons. More surprisingly, I heard from Aaron that our troops were winning only when Moses was praying. And we were losing when Moses dropped his hand as he became so tired of holding up his staff. After I heard what Moses read aloud, I finally understood that it was not because of me, but it was because of Moses' prayer and God's action that we actually won the battle. Okay, this was the story of Joshua I adopted from today's scripture. As you are focusing on Joshua's perspective, doesn't it sound new? Any insight you got? What kind of new insight you actually had? When I meditate this passage in Joshua's viewpoint, I have many thoughts through Joshua's eyes. Let me unwrap a bundle of my covered thoughts. The first thought that I had was that we Christians have many similarities with Joshua and the other people in today's message. Why is that? First, Joshua was one of the slaves back in Egypt. He had nothing to be freed from the slave. His destiny was to be born as a Hebrew slave, and he has to be died as a slave. However, God sent a person, Moses, and saved Joshua and the other 2 million people of Israel from the brutal hands of Egyptians. They became free. It happened only God's abundant grace. Romans chapter 3 said, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely make us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. It is the same with us. As we are all sinned against God, we were destined to be dead. Yet only by grace of God, we became free. We are saved. Therefore, we could be in the position of Joshua. Second, Joshua and the Israelites had to pass through the wilderness to reach out the promised land. Although they all became free by God's redemptive power and Moses' obedience, it doesn't mean that they could have passed the stage of living in the wilderness. In other words, there comes the time to be in the promised land, happily ever after. But in order to enter the fertile land, they had to walk through the barren wilderness. Does it make sense to you? What does it like to walk through the wilderness for the Hebrews? In Egypt, they witnessed, as you already know, 10 continuous plagues on Egypt to show how mighty their God is. It is absolute evidence that God is with them. But in wilderness, they were not amazed by pillars of fire or cloud or manna coming from heaven anymore. There were so many things threatening their lives. In the wilderness, no guarantee for food or water all the time. Depending on the ages of healthy condition, some of them had to witness that their family members were completely wiped out. Also, as it is written in today's passage, time to time, they were exposed to their enemies in their fragile conditions. How about us, Christians? How about us today, Christians? Salvation is freely granted by God for us as well. It is given by God's grace. Then wouldn't it be great if we could skip the stage of the wilderness and be landed in our heavenly home? I'm sorry, but let me blow away your expectation. No exception. You and I all have to pass through the wilderness just like what Joshua and the Israelites did. You know that, right? You all experience in your life, even right now. Life is tough. Life is hard. We cannot see even inch ahead in our life. What's more, when unexpected crisis suddenly approaches to you, we could feel that God seems like invisible, or God is far away from us and keeps silence. So in thirst, in grieving, or suffering sometimes, it makes us being doubtful in the existence of God. Is it your story as well? In the wilderness before going to heaven? Yes. Joshua and the people of Israel traveled through the wilderness, and we, 21st century Christians, to have to go through the same journey. Then we have to throw very important question. Why does God allow each of us to pass through the wilderness? To answer this question, I brought the dramatized story of Joshua from today's scripture. Listen carefully, please. One of the reasons why God allowed us the time in the wilderness is to find Joshua-like people of God working for his kingdom. He's looking for Joshua-like missionary for his kingdom. In Egypt, I assume that they could easily believe power of God, powerful God, as God sent 10 plagues on Egypt, or as they witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. In wilderness, however, God started his work to sort out chaff from grains. God is looking for Joshua-like godly worker from the grains. Then let me narrow down to talk about the distinct feature of Joshua, which we can find from most Israel people. You know, only two people can step on the promised land who actually experienced the 10 plagues on God. We can talk about thousand features that only Joshua had, but today I will give you only one. Here's the answer. Joshua was one of grains that God was looking for because he totally surrendered to the word of God delivered by Moses. As you already heard, my version of Joshua's story, I adapted from today's passage. I'm pretty sure that Joshua had also experienced some inner conflict between surrendering to God or resisting God. But unlike other battlers, he hadn't expressed his inner conflict in bitterness. Instead, no matter what Joshua thought, he still surrendered to Moses' command. Joshua chose to recruit the people to fight against the warriors of the Amalek and also set some warrior tactics. He did his utmost effort in his position. And even he was quite willing to sacrifice his life for his people. After that, Joshua may have thought he was the one contributed to win the war. If you were Joshua, don't you think that way? Then Moses brought a scroll. That's why we have to read the Bible. Moses brought a scroll and read aloud what was written in there for Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Here came the moment. Joshua realized the victory was not from his will, his well-prepared war strategy, or his leadership as commander, but it was from Moses' prayer, and it was by God. The Lord of the heaven's army. This understanding is far beyond his book knowledge or educational learning. I believe that this caused Joshua being transformed. This experience became unforgettable in his lifetime. In result, Joshua made a big turning point in his surrender to God. He was switched his perspective from self-centered to God-centered, from his pride to God's glory. Later, as you already know, this transformation play an important role in becoming such a strong, unshakable leader until he finally conquered this promised land as the successor of Moses. For the last couple of weeks, I asked to my Lord, what do you want me to deliver in this faith promise at Mifflinburg? I felt God wanted me to stand before you as a servant of God rather than the director of Asian American ministry. It means that for me, the primary reasons to visit your church is not to report about our ministry, but it is for delivering God's message. Not for any possible support for our ministry, but for presenting Asian American ministry as an example of 21st century of Joshua. God is calling you to be like Joshua, who is surrendering to Moses' command and led the Israelites at the war when he was not, even if he was quite prepared for it. Let me conclude. Both my wife Yun and I worked at a prominent place in South Korea. However, following the calling of our God, in the summer of 2009, we came to the States, and I became a full-time seminarian in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. After living in America for the first 2 years, we were running out of our money that we saved. One day, we didn't even have a budget to pay our rent, $760 for the month. But right before the due date, although we didn't share the facts with anyone, we received $1,000, so we used the money to pay off the rent. Thankfully, at the same time, I started theology. I served a Korean immigrant church in Delaware State for 2 years. the church gave me certain amounts of scholarship at the time. During serving the church, Yun and I kept praying for the next place where God would call us to be. As we are Korean, we have seen most of my friends and seminarians that I studied with are considering to serve in Korean faith community because they could use their full potentials without being distracted by any barrier of languages and cultures. However, our heart was not heading toward the Korean immigrant churches because we already knew we were called to serve as the cross-cultural, multi-ethnic ministry. When I was in third year of the seminary, through a professor, we were introduced the church located in Lansdale that a heart to Asian American. I met our current pastor, Mark Prue, and district superintendent, Newell Sumas. They had a heart to serve increasing Asian in Lansdale area where my local church is located. They didn't know how to start serving them. It was something for Yun and I dreaming about to be involved. We had a conviction that God has called us to this ministry. However, the reality hit us. We had to give up the scholarship as I rejoined the church in Delaware. I questioned to myself, seriously, how come live without regular income in a foreign country? I don't have any family here except them, except you. I mean, family in Christ. All of my family live in South Korea. We had to be faithful that God would provide all the needs for 2 years. In September of 2011, we started to attend this Emmanuel Church. And for four years, we had served as a volunteer, not paid position at all. As a volunteer to build a foundation for Asian American ministry. We learned how God responds back to us when we only rely on Him. He has been with us and we have left nothing in our need right after graduation in 2013 summer. God, let me serve wonderful, diverse people of God in this church as pastor. When I look back the journey, I see myself who is not quite qualified for this unique God-starting ministry. But God favored me, I believe. It was not because of my competence or skills, but simply it was because we put our trust in God, in our finance, in our every step through this great wilderness. There are several milestones that I never forget in my journey with Christ as Joshua had before. When I was called by God in 2001, God let me learn a new song, Be Magnified. Whenever I stand at the very important crossroad for my life, God reminds me the lyric of this song. When I was at the crossroad before I resigned it, the Korean immigrant church in Delaware, I sang this song in my devotional time. Then I felt God peace, made a resolution to go through my wilderness. Now I would like to sing this song first to encourage you to make a decision of total surrender in your wilderness. And second, as a way of showing my huge appreciation to my God, who love us. After singing a song, I will pray for you as closing my sermon. You hear it? I have made you too small in my eyes, oh Lord, forgive me, and I happily lay in a lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Hear my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and with my soul, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. I have leaned on the wisdom of man, oh Lord, forgive me, and I have responded to them instead of your light and your mercy. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Hear my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and with my soul, oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, oh Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, oh Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified, oh Lord, be magnified. Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, we know how much Satan makes every effort to cause us to be stumbled. He may say to us, if you surrender to God, there is no freedom at all. Life is short, enjoy life. However, Jesus, you said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lord, I strongly believe that surrendering to you is the way how we could enjoy intimate relationship with you, our Creator, Savior, and the Father. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. And let us live a life of Joshua where you called us so that we could experience your power, grace, and love of Christ. As your will be done in heaven, I pray you live a life that you will be done on earth through 21st century Joshua. In your name, amen.